based on a true scary, contains adult themes, language, and all-around scary shit. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Based on a True Scary. I know, back. It's season two, baby.
I was wondering where you're going to go with that. And you know what? I like it. I liked it a lot.
Like pitch-wise or just
I was like, if you're going to do what you normally do or if you're going to try to change it up a little bit and you changed it up and I respect
I'm getting wild. Season two, don't know what to expect. I'm pumped.
Yeah. We got a big one today.
I know. This one's good. Folks, you are actually experiencing, Jake and I haven't seen each other in months. It's been months.
Yeah, at least 6, 7 months, eight months.
It has not been eight. Well, I mean, physically we haven't seen each other.
Yeah. Oh, but you and I, we've only texted a couple times. Wow.
And I have to say, every time I log on to one of these conference podcast recordings, Jake's facial and hair situation is totally different. So currently, I'll just try to describe this. He's rocking like a pink mohawk. It's like a salmon, like a wild salmon, not a farm-raised fatty salmon. Yeah, no. A wild salmon color. And like the beard hair, I got to say, it's actually like under control. It's very professional.
Yeah. I bought a straight razor, drunk, and I've been really keeping it trim, you know.
Yeah.
It's straight razor, great idea. To buy and try to shave for the first time with a straight razor while drinking. Yeah, I cut my throat a lot.
So I was just going to ask, is that something that I can commit suicide with if necessary in the upcoming days? Okay, cool.
It's sitting in my bathroom ready for your use.
ready for November potentially?
Yeah.
Just kidding. We don't talk about politics on this podcast. So I think I look the same, just like a dead-eyed woodland creature.
You look skinnier.
I'm not. I'm not.
They say the camera takes away 10 pounds. I believe that's what they say. Yeah.
Zoom has like special features. I mean, I don't want to say products. We're on our video chatting feature. Yeah. They have like shit where it's like edit my video
really?
So I look pretty.
Oh my God.
I think it's just like the Sybil Shepherd blurred lens situation.
Oh, right. Yeah.
No. But I will take what I can get. What have you been doing in quarantine? Have you done anything fun?
A lot of drinking. Like
I was going to say,
a lot. Like, it's bad. I mean, I can admit it. You know, my name's Jake. I'm an alcoholic.
I went to
Nashville. I did my fantasy football draft there.
How did it go?
It went great. And I was on the ATV. And I went to get off it and rolled my ankle horribly. It's been 3 weeks now and I still limp. So,
oh, shit.
Yeah. It's great. First day of vacation. Yeah,
perfect. But can you like get a sassy cane? Because
I tried.
No.
I mean, I can. I can't believe all the things I've bought drunk over this quarantine, I haven't bought a cane yet. I don't know why.
How is a sassy cane not purchase number one?
I've started to collect Zippos. I have 8 Zippos.
Wow, that's trashy.
Yep.
Just kidding. Zippos are actually cool. They're like very pricey.
Yeah, I learned tricks with them.
Oh God, Jake, I don't like this path you're going
down. Wait, let's pause 1 second. I have to go grab it.
Oh God. Ladies and gentlemen, he's going to get the Zippo lighter. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, he lit it. He lit the lighter. It looked cool.
All right. Anyways, what's going on with you?
I am. Oh God, nothing. I acquired a superpower over these past few months. It's pretty amazing. I can drink all of the booze and still not get drunk.
Oh God.
Yeah.
It's bad. I hate when it happens. Yeah.
I've just lost the ability to disassociate. I still get hangovers. Like let's not.
Right. Are you talking wine or are you talking liquor?
So I think that's the issue is that I was like strictly on an all wine diet for the past few months. So now I'm trying to incorporate liquor and other things into that. And I'm hoping that I will let you know if I see results.
I switched to liquor only to try to save calories. It's bad. I can down a whole pint of, or not pint. What's it called? What's a fifth of Jack.
Wow.
I mean, don't get me wrong. When I'm done with it, I'm feeling good. but I will crack open another one. Cora this morning was very concerned for me. She walked in. She was like, "You just finished a whole bottle." I was like, "Yeah."
You're like, "Welcome to 2020, yeah, honey."
I like to party.
Right? Well, that's. I mean, as I'm sure everybody listening knows, we are living in a constant horror show, and not in a fun way.
No.
But the
we're
only
still working.
Thing we're still we are both still working,
yes.
Thankfully,
oh,
and like.
Right.
Yes, hopefully our listeners are still working, and we hope that everybody's doing well and everybody is safe. But we are back at it. It's been tough, but we found time to go back at it because I think the only thing that is at least providing me happiness in these dark times are spooky, scary things.
Yep.
And today we're going to be talking about the biggest, the spookiest of them all, I think. Should we introduce our guest? Should we move on to our guest portion?
I guess we might as well.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Well, folks, we have a fabulous guest today. He is a fashion designer and the founder of Glamour Kills Clothing. Welcome, Marky. How are you doing?
I'm doing swell. How are you guys tonight?
Oh.
Wow, swell. And if no one saw, he gave a little point to the camera, and that was amazing.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone saw, Jake. I'm gonna
No, Trisha and Jake, thank you guys for having me. I'm very excited.
Thank you for joining us for like the mother of all horror movies, The Exorcist. Oh boy, this was a treat.
Oh yeah.
I hated that I had to relive The Exorcist the other night.
No.
Really? When did you watch it?
When did I watch it?
Yeah.
I want to say, what's today? Wednesday?
Wednesday, yeah.
Yes.
Sunday night, I watched
okay.
it.
Right. Oh, wow. Ooh. It's really ruining your week.
I mean, I've seen the movie before.
Right,
I saw
right.
it when I was a kid. I think I was like 14 when they did like the director's cut, like the
right, right. Yeah,
extended
yeah.
version. And they put it in theaters. I remember telling my parents before I went to go see it, and they were like around that age when they saw The Exorcist, and they were like, they just right. gave me a look. Like,
yeah, right.
oh yeah,
you sure? Yeah.
Yeah.
You sure, buddy?
The movie is great. It's legendary, but like I was so desensitized from like watching like Sleepaway Camp and like
oh wow,
all these other movies where it was like gore is just like they were like
it's a different kind of scare because it's I mean, we were talking a little earlier, like I grew up Catholic, and there is a sense of like this could be real, this could mm-hmm. happen,
totally
right, like Sleepaway Camp, you're like ah, okay, this is above and beyond, right,
right,
but this one you're like if this is real, this everything I was forced down my throat could be true.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, like you, Marky, I saw it, I was probably around 10 or 11, and being like a little girl, this was just absolutely horrific because you see yourself in like this innocent child and you're just like, oh fuck, can I go through this?
That
and is... I did to some extent in the past few months. No, I'm kidding.
No, no. Like my parents looked at me as if like the scene where she's like stabbing herself in her crotch with the crucifix was like going to gross me out. But the movie to this day, like I still say the most horrifying horror movies are in fact based on religion, like Stigmata.
Oh, totally.
The Exorcist. Like,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
And from being raised Catholic, like Jake, to your point, when it was like, cause you're like made to believe like, oh, this is real. Like turn water into wine. And then it's like possessions can happen.
Yeah.
Stigmatas
yeah.
can happen. Like you lay in bed at night thinking, am I the chosen one?
Yeah,
I was like,
even as an agnostic, like I wasn't raised Catholic or anything. I like 100% agree, and I go as far to say that I think this is the scariest movie ever made to this day. Absolutely horrifying.
Yeah.
But we can get into it real quick. I just want to run through all of the details about this movie for all
the
those
facts.
Film nerds, the facts, if you will, for the film nerds out there. So this was directed by William Friedkin. It was written by William Peter Blatty, who also wrote the novel that the movie is based on and also wrote most of the many sequels. Budget for this was $12 million. It grossed $441.3 million overtime at the box office.
Oh, so, overtime. Gotcha. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah.
Solid return. But I mean, it was a, like, as Mark, you mentioned, it was a smash hit even when it was released in 1973. Rotten Tomatoes, I was actually surprised by this. So Critic gives it an 83%, audience is 87%, and Metacritic 81%. Those feel low to me, but it is a horror movie. I don't know. Rated R, obviously, 2 hours and 12 minutes. And then for the truth claim here, this one, it's not a hard claim. Like, the marketing and the movie don't say that it's based on a true story, but William Peter Blatty, who wrote the novel, claims that it's based on multiple priests' accounts of a real-life exorcism, so we're gonna count it.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Oh, and also, for those of you who have not seen The Exorcist or have never heard of it, I don't know why you're listening to this podcast, but I'll give you a quick synopsis. So it's about a 12-year-old girl who plays with a Ouija board. She gets possessed by a demonic presence, starts acting violently, exhibiting horrific behavior. Doctors can't explain it. So two priests, one a novice and one an expert, are brought in to save her by performing an exorcism. The expert being the titular character of The Exorcist.
That was really a well done summary of The Exorcist. Yeah.
It's like I'm a writer for a living.
But what's weird about it is, and you know, I don't know if you guys experienced this because I haven't seen it in a long time, but I think it's hour and 30 minutes in, we finally get to everything
the
we
exorcism?
Know.
Yeah.
Everything we know. Like everything we know about this movie, you know? So it's you do that summary and I'm like, oh, that seems like a nice, sweet 80-minute movie. Nope.
No.
It's on you.
Even the first 20 minutes, they're in Iraq, like in an expedition, like digging up relics, just to introduce the secondary priest that's only going to be in the movie for 5 minutes.
Right.
Right.
Which is so crazy because he is the exorcist. Like he's the titular character. And I always remember as a kid just being so uninterested in the like archaeological dig stuff. Like I'm like, give me the demon stuff.
Yeah.
This is boring. What is this, a political drama? Come on.
Slow burn. They were just like, just build it up. And the other priest, I would say he's my favorite character in the whole thing.
Really? He annoys me. I don't know why.
Father Karras, really? He has those mommy issues.
Yeah.
Mommy issues.
Maybe that's what I identify with.
Do you have mommy issues?
My mom's definitely going to listen to this podcast. She listens to that at anything I do. So
don't worry, Joy listens
to it. Mom, I don't have mom. What?
Joy listens to the podcast too. So.
Oh, hi, Joy.
Oh, shout out, Joy.
Yeah.
Shout out, Deb, real quick.
My mom listens too. Hi, Michelle.
Oh, hi, Michelle.
Shout out, Michelle.
Oh,
I'm sorry
Mother's
about talking
Day.
About your daughter.
Oh, God. Yeah. She got really upset with me. I forget which episode. It's been tough times.
I don't think I will ever meet your parents because of this podcast.
Yeah, that's fair. It's fair on all sides. But back to the film. Yes. Beginning is kind of boring in my opinion, even though it, you know, literally sets up like the entire backstory of Pazuzu and like all of the lore, but that's fine. It doesn't get exciting until we're in Georgetown, which
yes,
I just
absolutely.
Love that. Give me that traditional East Coast fall vibes.
Right, yep. Right. Yeah.
You get the score in there when the mom, actress mom is walking home and it's just like, oh yes, this is what I'm talking about.
Side note, do you know, I mean, obviously she's been in everything, but the thing that brings me, like, I kept looking at her, I'm like, how do I know her?
Yep.
Requiem
for a Dream.
She's the mom in Requiem, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yep. Good old Ellen Burstyn. She's got it going on.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
You guys are embarrassing me. Come on.
We're going to have to cut this.
Oh, God. All right. I just had a really shitty joke that if, like, Reagan was going through all this in real life in 2020, she would have so many TikTok followers. She's having her freakouts.
Oh, God.
Like, in convulsions. You're like, oh, damn. Like, she can dance.
They'd make so many, like, filters with her face on it. Just like,
I
want to have that Reagan look.
I'm the Reagan look.
I mean,
you
I'm
just
sure
start puking
are.
Green bile everywhere.
Oh God, that pea soup.
So that's the thing. That's why I want to ask you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it goes either two ways. Either pea soup's ruined for you because of that scene, or that scene's ruined because you know it's pea soup.
Or what, I watch it and I'm like, craving a little pea soup.
Yeah, I honestly, I can compartmentalize that and enjoy a nice bowl of split pea green soup.
And someone with the devil inside her throwing up pea soup. I gotcha. Yeah. Okay, cool. Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had one of my original podcast ideas before this one was called Horror D'oeuvres. And I was going to recommend like food and drink pairings while you watch horror movies. Nobody steal this idea. I still might do it because, you know, I hate Jake. Just kidding. But for The Exorcist, clearly a little pea soup, a little, you know.
I want to produce it. Cup. I've told you this already.
Okay, fine. It's our second podcast.
Yeah.
What would be the drink pairing then?
Oh, maybe like a corpse reviver. No, I got to save that for a zombie. I don't know. What's a nice green drink? Ooh, how about like some like creamy green drink, like a grasshopper? That's like Kahlua and mint. Just everything's creamy and green.
All I know about drinks are PBR and Jack and Coke. So
perfect.
Yeah, you lost me already.
Again, yeah. Perfect co-host. Well, speaking of again, this is yet another movie that I feel is funded by the anti-Ouija board lobby because Reagan gets possessed by playing or communicating with a spirit called Captain Howdy on a Ouija board.
Is it Howdy or Hardy? Howdy. It's Howdy.
Captain Sorry. Howdy. It is Howdy, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
It auto-corrected to Hardy on my notes.
Do we know, though? I know the scene with the Ouija board, but do they ever, like...
No, they don't. No.
Like, I feel like Captain Howdy is, like, already kind of in her life.
Yes.
At that point.
Yeah, she's clearly done this before. And that kind of, that did bug me. After watching it again, I was like, wait, they never really explain.
Well, I assumed that she had been playing with the Ouija board on her own because, you know, her mom's an actress. She's an only child. I think we're led to believe, you know, she has to fill her own time because she mentioned Captain Howdy, like talking to her a couple times.
Well, she went heavy during the Ouija board scene about Captain Howdy.
Captain Howdy.
She did. Yeah. Yeah, so I guess.
I feel like she looks much younger than 12 and acts much younger than 12.
Oh, I have my note here, and this is really bad, and maybe we should cut this out, but man, not a cute child.
Oh, that's so funny. I think she's so cute.
Oh, really? Marky, what do you think?
So I went down like to prep for this after I watched the movie. I was like, oh, checking out the Exorcist wiki. Then I was like, oh, Linda Blair.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, she like was dating fucking Rick Springfield at the age of 16.
No
like,
way.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Hard times for Linda Blair and the Blaze.
Oh, yeah. She dated Rick James, I think, for 2 years. And like.
She have a thing for Ricks? She have a Rick fetish?
Oh, I maybe.
Think so. Was it Rick James? I think it was Rick James. But. And then I was like, oh, and then it was like Rick James was like cool with her like posing nude. And I was like, of course, I'm now going to Google like Linda Blair.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And then I was like,
always with the boobies on this show.
Yeah. You have to.
Yeah. Linda Blair in her like mid-20s. I was like, I mean, as a kid, I mean, I'm not whatever, but like seeing her like posing nude, I was like, eh. It's like, it's weird because I just watched the movie where you were.
Yeah, that would be. That's
the
issue
right there. Yep. No,
that's the upsetting part. I think in the movie, I do think she's cute, but I feel like she's being treated and acting like an 8-year-old. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
She's 12. I was babysitting kids when I was 12.
Do you know how old she actually was during filming?
I want to say, oh, there you go.
Oh,
I did my research before this thing.
I like this.
Wow.
Yeah,
oh, I got backup. I feel like 12-year-olds these days, not to make another TikTok joke, but they're literally doing like sexy dances and booty shorts on TikTok. Like that's what 12-year-olds do today. They're that not like, hey mom, like talk to me. Yeah, while I go to sleep.
She gets babied this whole movie too.
She does.
She really does.
I mean, to the point where like, she's like being insane and her mom's like, well, I'll just take it to another more expensive doctor. Like, not like you should fucking get your kid into the hospital now, you know?
Well, maybe that's why she was so susceptible to a demon, because she was such a needy 12-year-old. Like, God. Yeah. Like,
they were like, this is going to be a sitch. Yeah.
Yeah, the demon was like, I'm just crawling up in this weak-minded motherfucker right here.
Does anyone else like that line where she's she's talking to Linda Reagan, whoever you want to call her, but she is they're talking about her boyfriend, and she's like, "You gonna marry her?" She goes, "I like pizza too. Not gonna marry pizza."
What?
Would totally marry pizza.
Yeah. Can I marry pizza?
If that's an
pizza
option.
For dinner tonight.
Pizza puts Ooh. Out, let me tell you. Ooh, okay.
Hmm. Yeah. Gross.
Also, I love right after that scene, she's up in the attic looking for rats, and and this happens a lot in this movie. The flame ignites and becomes a big flame, and she just ignores it.
Drafty house.
Sure, chalk it up to that.
Yeah I guess, but that would be my only excuse, is it's drafty. But that guy interrupts and he's just like, "You see no rats." Okay, what about your candle igniting?
We're like time? Clearly possessed daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. The, what do you call the guy? Like the housekeeper or whatever?
Oh, sure. Yeah. The older gentleman. Yeah.
Yeah. At the party, the director dude, the guy that falls up.
Oh, Burke. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Burke. He goes off on that thing. He's like, "I know a Nazi when I see one." And he like keeps calling him a Nazi.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's blitz drunk. I'm like, oh God. It was like,
I gotta say, really jealous of this like early 70s bougie East Coast Hollywood cocktail
right.
party.
Yeah.
Loved
with the kid upstairs.
That. And then she just comes down and just pees all over the rug.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
You gotta go.
Yeah.
Where else was she supposed to
pee? Highlight of the party.
Yeah.
I know, exactly. She provides entertainment. It's lovely times.
Yeah, fuck them at the piano. It's like when I, the next day, I'm like, "How was that party you went to?" Oh my God, I was like, this chick, her daughter came downstairs, we were all fucking at the piano, and she just rips the piss and runs
away. Yeah, lit as hell.
Here's the thing, have you guys ever been to a party where someone just busts out in piano?
No. I wish.
I know.
No, and
I
that's the
wish.
Problem.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm bringing up my mother again. Maybe the mother issues thing is real.
Oh, man. Father Karras over here.
My mom always was like, she's like, take piano lessons. She used to like, always like, when you're in school, like learn piano. And I'm like, I want to play drums. And then she's like, one day you're going to be at a party and you're going to start playing the piano and you're going to impress everybody there. I'm like, that occasion has never arisen for me. I'm 34 years old. Like,
you
wow.
know, I will say, related. I played drums for years when I was younger. And when I got into college, I learned that I was able to translate my drum skills into the video game Guitar Hero.
Oh,
because
shit.
It has nothing to do with guitars. It's just like rhythm and
it's
tapping.
Just, yeah, it's just, yeah.
So while I wasn't cool enough to be able to get on a piano and impress people, I would do this party trick where like anytime they would bust that out, and that was popular, not to date myself, when I was like early in college. And I would just be like, "Oh, is this video game hard?" And they'd be like, "Oh yeah, do you want to try it?" And I'd be like, "How hard is expert level?" And then just be like,
"And
amazing. it got me no dudes ever." But
oh, well, that's yeah, true.
I would have been intimidated. Cool. I'm like, she could play yeah. Guitar Hero better than me.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, men don't like women who are good at things. Can confirm.
Wow. No.
I'm not confirming that, but if you could see me, I'm winking at you.
Oh yeah,
Dane, it's true.
Double winks.
Can we talk about the insane vandalism on the
the church,
the statue of what's her name?
Come on, be a good Catholic.
Oh my God, I'm such a bad Catholic.
I don't know who the fuck
Mother Mary.
Is.
No.
The Virgin Mary.
Virgin Mary. There you go.
Okay. Well, that's a basic one. Even I maybe.
Dude,
I just thought it was a random statue because there's so many like God and. Virgins and
there's
stuff.
Patron yeah. saints of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was that?
I think it was giant boobs.
Giant boobs, and I believe there was a dick.
I think there was also a dick.
There was also
yes.
a penis dick. Of some sort.
Thorn things.
Did she have horns? Yeah.
I think horns were going through her boobs. Like they were like
no, that yeah. was Madonna's boobs.
that took me a second.
Oh God.
Oh God. We definitely if anyone's younger than our age right now, they would not get that joke.
I think most people are younger than our age.
And they're back on TikTok.
And they're like, this is boring. It's longer than 5 seconds.
What's Quibi? So I don't know. I don't know much about Quibi, but I see the ads for it. And I'm sorry if you subscribe to it or any.
So, I may have written those ads.
Okay.
I just do freelance. I don't actually.
Okay.
Work there.
All right.
I loan my skills to the Quibi universe.
I just think it was a misguided attempt by Hollywood to be like, oh, the attention spans of kids are shit. Let's fucking give them 5-minute TV shows.
Oh, it's fine. Okay. The scariest part of the movie to me is the doctor scene. When he is shoving those needles into her neck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's hard to watch.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I had a note here basically just being like, she's basically like experimented on. Is that how they did things?
Is that a real procedure? I don't know.
In the 70s, maybe they were just fucking like, I mean, mental health is a joke in this country in 2020. So 50 years ago, I imagine it was a lot fucking worse.
Well, that's my favorite part about this movie is the fact that they just keep bringing in more and more doctors.
And more
doctors are trying to explain things with science. And that's what made it so creepy and scary for me is just like, fuck. You know, all those the year in Catholic school where I got yelled at for breaking a pencil, saying that when I break a pencil, I'm stealing. And if I'm stealing, I'm breaking the Ten Commandments and I'm going to hell.
And so this could be you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And this idea that all these adults can't figure out what's wrong with this kid. And when you're a little kid, like we were watching this, it's horrifying when you're like,
they don't
know. Yeah. Also, gotta say, love that the doctor is smoking a cigarette in the hospital, like stethoscope around his neck inside his office with a cigarette, talking to the mom, just being like, I don't fucking know, go to a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
It makes you think how many ashes like were actually accidentally dropped like during like a heart transplant or something. Like,
oh God. God. I'm hoping that they didn't do that.
I'm awful. Fairly certain it's had to have happened.
I don't want to bring it up, but I watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy. It's a very sterile environment there, just to let you know. Because Grey's Anatomy is true.
They don't smoke in the hospital. No, yes, it's documented.
Yeah. Back to that part with her getting the needles in her neck. Like I was reading that, like, because like in the 70s, like people were petitioning that like this movie should have been rated X and not R. And like there's all this lore of like women had miscarriages from watching this movie.
Yep.
People had heart attacks. People fucking like brought children and were like throwing up. Like they just didn't see that kind of like that was, it was so groundbreaking from that point of view.
It's horrifying. Like,
What's funny is like they do a good job of not like showing those certain angles where obviously like she's doing something and there's blood but you don't see it, but the craziest part about this film is watching it and the amount of swearing in it, like it's literally just like, it's so weird because you know that timeline, you know that saying the word cunt is a big fucking deal,
you know? My God.
I mean, well, it's a big deal now,
like, it is.
Yeah,
I will say that is my absolutely, like, I think the best scene in the whole film is sort of in the beginning, that her early possession behavior is when the mom goes in and she's masturbating with the crucifix and her head does the like almost full turn, not all the way around, and she's like, your cunting daughter. That, like, they do this intentional thing where they make her arm move as her head's turning around because I know they wanted to make it look real, and it's like, it gets me every time.
One time I was really mad at my sister Emily, who listens to this podcast also, and I called her the C word, and I want to go on record saying you kind of were being the C word, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I didn't know what that word was.
Ah!
And my older stepbrother said it, and we were about to eat dinner, and I was like, what is it? And he's like, just ask your mom. And I was like,
oh,
okay.
God.
And I remember, like, at the dinner table, like, just dropping the C-bomb. And then, like, you could hear silverware drop. And I was like, luckily, I didn't get in trouble because, like, he started cracking up immediately. And then everybody deduced, like, you're the reason he said that.
So. Oh.
Anyways, okay, where do we leave off?
Oh, well, now, I mean, basically shit's starting to get crazy now. So this is when, you know, we see all, like, a lot of those classic scenes before the exorcists show up where, like, she gets the giant lump in her throat.
And oh,
her
God.
Voice
the help,
is changing.
The help me and the stomach.
Oh, her stomach, oh. Yeah. Oh,
God. Well, that's, I love that because that's, you know, the mom goes to Father Karras and is like, you gotta help me, right? And at first he comes in and he's like, you know, she's doing all this crazy shit. She's making furniture move. And he comes back down. And he's like, I don't know. She didn't speak in tongues. Like, I'm not convinced.
Yeah, that's why I don't really like him, because it's like, I know he has mommy issues, but there's so much shit going on that's showing that let's not fuck around.
But like, think about it this way. Like, he's
losing his
psychiatrist,
faith.
A therapist.
Yeah.
He's also a man of faith. So he is like so conflicted.
Born. Yeah.
That you're like, that, and that's why I think he's my favorite character, because ultimately he does believe that he's like, okay, this is real. And you know,
yeah, I think it's once he sees the help me carved into her stomach, that's when he's just like, oh shit, we got to do this. And you can tell that he's like, fuck, like maybe this shit's real. And then it was. And that's also when we bring in Father Marin, Max von Sydow, and all that old man makeup, which, like, when I was a kid, I didn't realize that he was much younger and just had old makeup on.
I did not.
Wait, he's not an old man?
Yeah. What?
That he's not a young guy, but like he's in old man makeup.
It's like Golden Girls.
Actually, they won an Oscar for that. I want to say, I will double check.
No
that.
Shit.
Yeah,
it's like the mother in Golden Girls. She's actually younger than most of the cast.
Exactly.
No shit.
Yep.
You are blowing my mind with that.
That's what we aim to do on this podcast. We aim to blow people's minds.
Not about horror movies, about Golden Girls.
I remember reading too that they had a tough time filling roles for this movie. Like they were turned down by a lot of actors.
Oh, wow.
And maybe that's the reason that they had to have him wear like old man makeup. I don't know.
Oh yeah, who knows?
That's possible. I don't know. It looks like I'm Googling this.
I do.
They may have not.
Yeah, I was just on the Wikipedia and it said like they had slew of issues with
It also, it was nominated for a shit ton of Oscars. It does not look like they won Best Makeup, but they did win Best Adapted Screenplay and Best Sound Mixing, which I'm not surprised because the sound is horrifying.
It was one of the first. It was one of the first horror movies to win an Academy Award.
Yeah.
So.
It was
a big deal. Okay, where are we?
We're at the exorcism. So,
dude, when she tells, did she tell the mom? Who does she say lick me to?
Her mom.
Oh, God.
Lick me. That's when, she has a pretty good impression. Yeah, she shoves her mom's face into her bloody lady parts.
A vagina.
Ugh.
Lick me. Your mother sucks cocks in hell, Harris.
Yeah, she really is able lean into the mommy issues to fuck with Karras. That's
well, it makes sense that Marky's good at the mommy issues jokes. So
I'm good at impersonating Reagan.
You are. And it also explains why when Father Marin comes in, he just owns it. It's like he owns the shit. He's just like, okay, listen, Karras, it's not more than one demon. It's one. He fucking lies. 1, 2, 3, break. And they like go into the room.
Oh yeah, he tries to tell me, he's like, there's three personalities in their father. He's like, there's one.
No, it's just one.
Shut it down.
It's Pazuzu. Now we gonna do this.
Yeah.
Get the holy water, Pazuzu. Follow my lead.
We gonna Pazuzu do this. Let's get in. I was talking to Jake earlier. I recorded it and I wanted to make a joke about it. They walk into the room to perform the exorcism and Reagan just looks at them and goes, stick your cock up her ass, you motherfucking worthless cocksucker.
Oh, God.
I'm like, what a fabulous greeting.
Imagine somebody made a porn, hear me out, parody of this, of
I'm
that
sure
scene,
they have.
And they're like, okay. And then they just pull out like a holy water vial and it's all fucking holy water lube.
Now we're talking.
They're like, yo, yeah.
I think my favorite, we didn't talk about this earlier, but there's a scene where she's at the doctor's and she's talking and she's like, he's like, the doctor's like, does she swear a lot? And no, she never swears. It's like, well, what'd she say? Keep your fingers away from my goddamn cunt.
Ooh, I don't remember that.
Oh. I don't either.
Oh, yeah.
I just rewatched it.
Yeah, you know what's weird is I watched it last night, wrote it down, and today I watched it again, wrote it down again, because I was like, fuck. During the 70s?
Fast, like, and loose with the C word. Yeah. Fast and loose. You hate to see it.
You'd love to hear it.
Why not? Maybe some people do like to see it. Okay, exorcism scene. I didn't realize how much of the physical change progression happens over the film, her appearance. Yeah. She's so scary in the middle. And then when they're doing that scene, that's when she's just like full blown horrifying looking. And I looked it up. Yeah. Rick Baker was involved. Of course. He was like the master of practical effects. I think he was like uncredited, but he interned or something on it and was a reason, I assume, why it looked so fucking horrifying. And then, were you guys shocked at how short the exorcism scene really was?
Here's the thing. It's actually like 20 minutes. It's actually really.
Is it though?
It feels quicker though, because you know why? Like
waiting for it the whole
movie. Because the build up. They build up so much to it, and when you go down to it, it's decently long. It's really well. I guess you know what? I'm also thinking about when he jumps out the window and stuff like that. So,
and yeah, like he goes back to the to get the supplies and shit like that, and he's talking to the mom.
Yeah,
and then he comes out in the hallway. Yeah,
you know, like I was saying earlier, it's just I thought it went straight into it, but man, they took a long time to get there. So,
but they do a really good job, I think, with pacing, because you're slowly they insert all these horrifying episodes with Reagan that like you kind of remember. And then, you know, during the exorcism, it's the, like, you get the full head rotation, the wide eyes and levitating over the bed. Like, you get all of the heavy hitters of the exorcist.
Everything.
And then we get to see Pazuzu, that, like, classic shot. And, like, when he's in her face, love it so much.
So, did you guys both rewatch it as well recently? Or?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Did you watch the, because I was at a crossroads. I was like, do I watch the extended cut that came out in 2000?
Classic. The director's cut is really good, that they add a super cool scene of her spider walking down the stairs backwards.
Yes.
That's the one I watched. Yes. That's the one
I
watched.
You did? Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Oh, that, I, because when I saw that in 2000, when it re-released, that was my favorite scene. When she started
horrifying.
Just doing that backwards walk down the steps, I was like.
And then she like vomits at the end of it, or like blood maybe even. Oh, so good.
My question is, why wasn't that in the original?
I wonder if it was deemed too scary or something.
Exactly, it might have been.
Yeah, for sure.
They were horrifying.
They were not ready for that. I mean, like that movie, like we were talking about earlier, it was like when it was put out without that scene, it was getting so much dramatic drama and people banning it and like trying to boycott it and whatnot. Like it's ridiculous.
Oh yeah, it's a lot. And then, you know, the end, you know, after the exorcism, it goes by real quick.
Yes.
Because you get, Karis goes down because Marin's like, get out of here. She's hitting on the mommy issues and you can't take the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back in and Marin's dead. And you just, because, you know, his heart couldn't take it. He didn't have the heart. And then it's just like immediately Karis gets on top of Reagan and starts beating the shit out of her. And then that's it. Boom. Demon goes in Karis, jumps out the window.
Coming to me.
Take me. Oh, we forgot to talk about the investigator.
That's the whole time.
Yeah,
I don't remember him. Like, it was so weird.
Me too. When I'm rewatching, I was like, who is this motherfucker?
Yeah. There's like a whole scene where he's. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's being creepy and he like tries to get her autograph because he's investigating Burke's death and the mom knows Reagan killed him. Like instantly.
At that moment, I think she's pieced together that it's like, quite possible.
Yeah. It was a weird subplot for sure. I guess it just like helps. I don't know. That's like, the investigator kind of ties it all together too. Cause he talks to Karis and, you know, parts of it. And I think he thinks that Karis did it for a while. But he shows up right at the end. as this is all happening again. And it's just like, what the fuck? And then it's fine. Yeah. That's it. Just kind of ends. Like Karis kills himself. Thus, Pazuzu is free to show up in the many sequels.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry. Spoilers. And then Reagan doesn't remember any of it, and they move. And then cue one of the best horror scores ever. The end.
Yep, it really was.
Yeah.
Didn't Linda Blair? I feel like she had a rough, like, this movie like fucked her up.
Oh,
like having to act this way. Like,
yeah.
This is one of those movies like Poltergeist that it has like supposed curses.
Yeah,
there's for everybody involved. Yeah.
There's on Shudder, that horror movie app. There's a
like I and our listeners don't know what Shudder.
Yeah,
is.
Yeah.
I know what Shudder is.
There's
and Mikey.
It's called Cursed, and it's
a great show.
They have one about it. Yeah, I watched them all in like a day. Sad.
Shudder. For anybody who doesn't know what Shudder is, you have to. If they want to sponsor us, that sounds great.
Ooh, good idea.
You have to download Shudder. Is. I know. I'm sensing some synergy there.
Yep. Okay. So should we go to fact?
Yeah. Portion? Are you guys anything else you want to mention or?
Dude, I'm excited about facts because I couldn't believe this was based on something. So.
It's pretty, yeah. Wild times.
I have nothing to say.
Okay.
No. Yeah. No.
Well. Yeah. Let's get into the questions. Actually, real quick before I want to show you guys my new ringtone. What do you think?
Oh no.
Already. Eat a cock up her ass, you motherfucker.
Yes. Oh no.
You sent me that.
That's
gonna
be the music.
Oh God, I wish. No. I recorded that when I was.
I couldn't. As soon as the music kicked in, it brought me back immediately. I was I'm in for it. It was like this.
It is so good. Okay, let's get into it. Well, okay, Marky, just so you know the ropes here, Jake has not done any research as well. So I'm going to be asking you, because Jake is a piece of shit, I'm going to be asking you a series of questions about the film, and I need you guys to tell me if you think that it really happened or not in real life. So we'll start broad here. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm always ready.
Do you guys think that a young girl in Washington, D.C. was possessed by a demon?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I will say it is almost true with one difference. It was a boy.
Oh, so that's like a 0.5.
It's a boy, yeah.
It's a half point.
But still, so... As I said before, William Peter Blatty claims that the novel and the film were based on the demonic possession of a night from the 1940s of a 14-year-old boy who went by the pseudonym of Roland Doe, but people believe his actual name was Robbie Mannheim. So that's what we're going to call him. So Robbie and his family lived in Washington, D.C., so they even got the location correct, which is rare.
Georgetown.
Yep. Robbie was really close to his aunt, Harriet, and after she died in 1949, he began to experience strange phenomena and exhibit strange behavior, which we will get into, that led experts to believe that he was the victim of a demonic possession. So it's pretty true, despite
gender switch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that in 2020, totally cool.
Exactly.
We're good. Very fluidity. 2020 of them, you know?
It's very true. Yes. Okay. Question number two. So you guys are tied. Do you think that like Reagan, Robbie became possessed by playing with a Ouija board?
No. Oh.
Is that a double no?
That's double no's.
Double no.
It's fucking true.
What?
Yep.
Shit.
So Robbie's Aunt Harriet was a spiritualist and taught him how to use a Ouija board. And then after her death, Robbie and his family started hearing strange noises and the like pipes banging and floorboards creaking. And Robbie was convinced that it was his Aunt Harriet who was trying to communicate from the grave. So he would use the Ouija board to try to speak to her. And they believe that that is ultimately what led to the possession.
Whoa.
So pretty similar. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Good.
All right, let's talk about early possession signs. So we see the bed shaking with Reagan. She's got violent behavior, weird voices flailing all around. Do you think that those are similar to what Robbie was experiencing when he started showing signs of possession?
Marky goes first.
Just the bed shape, like all of the signs Reagan was?
Even really any.
Yes, I'd say so. I think some weird ass shit must have been happening.
I mean, yeah, I'm with Mark. It has to happen for sure.
Yeah, well, you guys, you would be both right.
Jesus.
So at first, Robbie's family also thought that the odd noises could be Aunt Harriet as well. But then one day, his mom walked into his room and Robbie was on the bed screaming as it was violently shaking up and down in like an unexplainable way. So probably pretty similar to what we saw in the movie. And this led them to believe, okay, maybe it's not the aunt. It could be something a little bit more malicious. So then after that, the family began to experience furniture being thrown across the house. Robbie would be violently thrown off of his bed and chairs where he was sitting. And then Robbie started showing really violent behavior that came out of nowhere. He was swearing. He was acting out and hitting people. Scratch marks started showing up on his body with no explanation. But outside of that, I couldn't find anything about him talking in a different voice. So pretty true, though. Pretty similar.
Damn.
Yeah, you're like 90% there. That's fair.
Yeah,
the bed shaking is like a faulty like motel bed with the quarters that you.
Oh, dude! I wish I went to a hotel like that, but
yeah, I've never gotten to experience that.
I feel like that was a thing for like all of like 3 months, and they're like, guys, this is a bad idea.
That was the hot bed trend.
In like the '70s, they were like, hold on, you know what makes shit more pleasurable in a motel? A fucking vibrating bed.
You know how we can reduce sound for the rooms above other people? Let's have a bed that just knocks on the floorboard aggressively night long.
They either get the shaking bed or the heart shaped jacuzzi.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, the heart shaped jacuzzi's high end though. Yeah. That's like if you're doing like some weird trysts, you're like, I'm springing for the.
What a waste of space though, right? Like, I mean, the heart shape is not really meant to get whatever. Anyways,
who's sitting in the corner?
Yeah.
At the point, that's not comfortable.
I don't know. That could be someone's jam.
Yeah, true.
Okay, well, there's a seat for everybody. There's an ass for every seat.
Aw, it's a beautiful concept. Yeah. Okay, moving on. Question, I don't know. What are we at, like 4? Do you think that they took Robbie to multiple doctors to do tests on him like they did to Reagan in the film?
For sure. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I want to say no, but yes.
Okay. Double true. You guys are right. It's pretty true. So couldn't find any specifics about the tests that they were doing on him, but they took him to multiple doctors. He was evaluated by multiple psychiatric professionals.
Yeah.
Same with the movie. They couldn't find anything medically wrong to explain his behaviors. And that's what led them to go to the Catholic Church for answers.
Oh yeah. Because if you want answers,
go to the
Catholic Church. That's for sure.
They got answers. They might not be the right answers, but they have answers.
Which in the movie I find especially hilarious when the doctors are like sitting at that big round table after like so many of them. They're like, well, there's one thing. They're like the Catholic Church. Like we might need to do an exorcism. It could help her.
I mean, in their defense, they were like, I mean, it's bullshit, but if your daughter's religious, she'll believe it and therefore get over it, which really is the idea of exorcisms.
Yeah. At the core of it. Right. Like,
yep. Okay, speaking of exorcisms, so in the movie, we get two priests that are called in. One is an expert and one is a novice. Do you think that two priests were brought in to do the exorcism on Robbie?
No.
Damn it, I was going to say no. You want me to say yes, just because...
We're both saying, oh, yeah, we think two.
You want to try to divert her? Jake, go with your gut. I mean, don't...
No, I'm going to say no then. You're right.
You guys are both saying no?
Yeah.
No.
All right, well, you're right. It is false. Hard false. So
damn it, Mark. You mean you are on top of it?
Slaying. I don't think you guys have ever done this well. I mean, our previous
guest. I'm a first timer here.
I know.
Yeah. No. I always suck at it. So
this is impressive. So maybe I just suck at writing questions now.
No. Let's put it on that. Let's put it on that. Yeah. You suck.
Okay.
Sure. You suck. Fine. The questions are horrible.
Fair. I apologize, everyone. So Robbie's family was put in touch with a Catholic priest named Father Albert Hughes. Father Hughes got approval to perform the exorcism from the church with the assistance of multiple other priests. And this was his first exorcism. He was not a seasoned vet like Max von Sydow was in the movie. So according to one account, there were actually up to 48 different people who attended the exorcisms throughout all of the sessions.
What?
Yeah. Which we'll get into why that is in a little bit, but like it was not just two people. And out of those people, one of them was Father Walter Halloran, who is said to be the last surviving member of the people who witnessed the exorcism. And then another is Father Raymond Bishop. Those are the two priests that kept detailed journals that William Peter Blatty referenced when he was writing The Exorcist. So he actually like was looking from these priests' journals to write his book.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's insane. I know. Honestly, that was a good question because I thought it was only one priest.
Oh, when no. You're
like, was there two priests? I was like, it's probably just one asshole in the local, like,
a clergyman.
He's like, hold on. He's like, we need an exorcist. He wrote a letter to like the archdiocese or however that works. He's like, I've got a case for an exorcism. We're going to go sprinkle some holy water on this motherfucker. All right.
Let's do it.
we're fucking eradicating the devil right now, motherfucker. Woo!
I mean, I'm sure that there were whips and lassos, and who knows if maybe they brought up some Southern Catholic priests.
Oh, I was throwing holy water.
There you go.
Arm motion. It looks like I'm like.
It's similar. It's very similar. Now I'm doing it. I'm like, yeah.
Woo! No. All right. Next question. Do you guys think that one of the priests that attended the exorcism had mommy issues similar to Father Karras, and that the demon targeted them to upset the priest?
Oh, hell motherfucking yeah.
Yeah, you would not make that a question if it wasn't true.
Fuck you guys, it's false.
What?
Fuck.
Oh, fuck, shit.
Well, you know what's funny, tied. Jake? When I was writing this question, I was like, I'm going to fucking get Jake because he is going to say exactly what you said. So don't mess with me because I'm on my toes.
God.
All right. Let's get into the possession symptoms that we saw in the film where it gets crazy. So, do you think that Robbie vomited green goo during any of the sessions?
No.
Fuck. I'm going with my gut. No.
God damn it. You guys are right. It is false.
Damn, Marky, we're good.
I know. You guys are really good. Only you guys have only missed one. Yeah. That's still good. So, the pea soup in the movie was, as I like to say that Jake makes fun of me, it was just a little bit of movie magic. I will also add here that Robbie never reportedly violently masturbated with a crucifix, which would have been very different, but he did not do that, nor did he shove his mother's face into his bloody genitals. He did, however, spit and make sexual suggestions to all of the priests. He foamed at the mouth. They said that his eyes appeared to be, quote, black and lifeless. He would contort his body into seemingly impossible positions. He showed a strong aversion to religious items, which is like obviously classic in those exorcism moments. He had superhuman strength. And then he would often rip out of his restraints. And one time he freed his hand long enough to rip off a bed spring and used it to stab Father Hughes all the way from his wrist to his elbow. This forced Father Hughes to have to take a pause, and so they had to like stop the process of exorcism for a few days so he could recover.
Dude, that was intense.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The wording they actually used was from the wrist to the elbow nook, which is like so upsetting, meaning it was like the inner.
Doing it right now. That's a
Oh no, I don't even like you tracing your arm.
I know.
Yeah.
It's rough times. Rough times. Okay, moving on. Do you guys think that he had writing show up on his body parts, like what happened with the Help Me in the movie?
Do you want to go first, Jake, on this
one? I'm going to say no.
I'm agreeing no.
Guys, it is true.
What?
Oh, and this, no.
Yeah, I think this is the most interesting part about all of this. So Help Me never showed up, but a few days after they had stopped the exorcisms because of Father Hughes's injuries, Robbie's parents discovered the word Lewis formed in red welts on his abdomen. And so the family took this as a sign that they should move to St. Louis where they had family and hopefully this would help Robbie. So they moved Robbie to St. Louis and stayed with family. Once they got there, they contacted the church to send more priests out so they could continue the exorcism process. So that's, I think, why there were so many priests involved. Then during these sessions, more writing appeared on Robbie's body, which they claimed that the welts would last for 3 to 4 hours. And this included words like hell, evil, satanic symbols and pictures, a pitchfork-shaped pattern of red lines that stretched from his thigh to his ankle, and then eventually a large X that appeared on his chest, where the priests believed that it was the Roman letter for 10, and so they assumed that 10 demons were inside Robbie. When they would ask Robbie this, like, how many demons are inside of you? Who are you? He would respond in a guttural voice saying, quote, I am legion, which means like a large group, right? And that signaled to the priests that there were indeed multiple demons possessing him. So, wild times for Robbie.
Wow. This is horrifying.
Yeah.
I
thought I'd go to bed okay tonight.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Joke's on you.
Yeah.
Shit.
Pretty wild. As I was going through all of this, I kept thinking, why didn't the marketing for this movie say that it was based on a true story? Like, because this is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't need it back then.
Yeah.
I was going to say they didn't need it. Like, they don't even need it. They didn't need it in 2000 or now, yeah. Even. Like, it's like, nah, everybody's kind of heard of exorcisms. Yeah. Yeah. Like, happening.
You know? This was the big one, too, this movie. Okay, moving on. Do you think that one of the demons was Pazuzu, like in the film?
No.
I want to say yes.
Oh, Marky's got it. It's false.
Damn it! So, I didn't go with my gut.
Go with your gut, Jake. Go with your gut.
Try to be contrarian, and that's what you get, motherfucker.
I will say Pazuzu is an actual demon. It's a demon from the ancient Mesopotamian religion. He's considered to be the king of the demons of the wind and is the bearer of storms and drought. But he was not one of the demons that possessed Robbie.
Repeat that?
So he's the king of the demons of the wind, and that he is the bearer of storms and drought.
Cool. In the religion of
Mesopotamia.
He was left out of the demon orgy party.
He was not invited.
The invite to Robbie's body was forgotten. It was lost in the wind, so to speak, for him.
He did, yeah. Wow.
Hey,
can we get an applause?
Insert? I'm a comedian here.
All right, guys, how about levitation? Do you think that Robbie fully levitated off the bed like Reagan did in the movie?
Yes.
I'm going to say no.
Marky's got you again. It's false.
Fucking shit.
I feel like I threw you guys with the writing on his skin. Okay. Yeah, no levitation. That's, again, I will say it's just a little movie magic.
Oh, God damn it.
See, if I were to like put myself into like what really could happen, like I feel like the writing on the skin could, but like levitation would be like, it's too far for a demon to go. Like,
it's tough.
Yeah. They could write on the skin, you know, and.
No, please go on, Marky. I'd love to hear about your demon thought.
Explain.
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. No dead air here.
No dead air. We got to keep it moving, guys. All right.
None.
Next question. Do you think that any of the priests died during the exorcism process, like Father Karras and Marin did in the film?
No.
Not
way.
Like they did, but just
no way.
Died.
Well, you did say somebody, the mattress spring from the. I'm going to say no. No.
It is, yes, you guys are both right. It is false.
Fuck
no priest
you,
died.
Man.
But as you mentioned, yes, she did, he stabbed Father Hughes in the arm, and he also broke Father Halloran's nose. So his super strength was injuring them, but nobody was murdered.
They probably deserved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy
Robbie's got
burns.
A good right hook.
Okay, guys, last question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. No. I mean, yes. Sorry.
Maybe.
Marky's right. You guys are right.
Ah, shit.
Okay. Do you think that the exorcisms worked and that Robbie was cured like Reagan was in the end of the film.
Define cured, like...
Let's say not possessed and lived on.
Yes.
No.
It is true, Marky.
God damn it.
Marky. Kill yourself, Jake.
Jesus Christ. What, you like... You got one wrong answer, I think.
I know. That was you have done better than I think anyone else has, Marky. This was impressive showing.
I'm going with the gut. That's, you know.
Your gut is good.
Hey, what do I win, by the way?
Oh, God, nothing.
Nothing.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah.
I'll just
take being good at the questions.
Yeah. You win our friendship. That's about it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it.
I'll give you this. You win this explanation. Ready? So.
Yes.
I got stories.
Oh, God.
So during a session on March 20th, Robbie began urinating all over the bed and having violent seizures. So at this point, his parents decided that they had to take him to a hospital. So they took him to the Alexan Brothers Hospital in St. Louis so he could receive medical care, where he was still monitored by priests the entire time. Then on April 18th, he started having more violent seizures. And in between them, he was yelling out, quote, "Satan will always be with me." The attending priests laid holy relics, rosaries, crucifixes, and medals all over his body while calling on Saint Michael, who I looked this up is apparently the archangel of heaven. I did not go to Catholic school, so.
I did, and I don't fucking know.
That's who Saint Michael is. So they called on Saint Michael to expel Satan from Robbie's body. After several hours of this, apparently Robbie came out of a trance-like state, looked up at them, and said, "He's gone." And that was it.
That's it? Yeah. Wow.
And that's pretty anticlimactic.
I know.
Like, what the fuck?
That was it. So then, since then, Robbie has had no strange occurrences or any incidents. He went on to change his name. Apparently, he lived a pretty ordinary life. He had a son. His identity has never been fully revealed, but I'm pretty sure that it's Jake.
Yep.
Twist.
You caught me.
But yeah, that's it. And I will leave you with a quote from one of the attending priests whose name was Father Bowden. He said, quote, "This case in which I was involved was absolutely a real thing. I had no doubt about it then, and I have no doubt about it now."
Damn.
Fuck.
There you go. And that was the haunting, or the possession, I guess, of little Robbie Mannheim. Yeah. Of Emily Rose. Similarities, for sure. So now that we've gone through all of this and you have an idea about the real story, Jake and I like to ask our guests to rate how accurately you think that the film portrayed.
Shit. It's been so long since we've done this, I forgot about this.
I will say, you know, this one didn't claim that it was a true story, but
yeah,
I'm going to give it a higher rating.
Yes, it was pretty absolutely. Good. Absolutely. And you know me, I don't like to give out good ratings, but
I know.
Minus the ending of it, it was pretty good.
I think it earns a solid 5. And I think that is pretty decent. You're going higher.
I'm going 7.
7, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I was just saying. We'll see what Marky says.
So I'm rating the realness of the accounts of
Robbie
what happened that to Robbie
portrayed in The Exorcist.
There's a lot of and this is to 10.
To 10. 1 to 10.
No, we do 25. It's a weird number, but
can we go to decimal points or decimal?
Yes, you absolutely of course. Whatever makes you feel comfortable.
I mean some of it, sure, but like the green pea soup,
right.
I'm going 6.2.
Wow.
I like the 6.2 because
I do too.
An exorcism is the one thing that's plausible. Like that it's like I think it's mental health conditions and that
right.
Priests right. do go into rooms and fucking God, I'm doing the now I've got two holy waters in my hand.
Oh Jesus. I'm throwing that's not the holy what it looks water. Like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, my thing too is that the fact that in the movie, they they make things seem more dramatic, obviously. So like, yeah, a real possession, a lot of that stuff probably happened. Did they levitate? Probably not. But did a lot of weird shit happen? Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Location, yeah. The writing on the skin, the bed, yeah. You know, shaking around. I'll give it a 5. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, Marky,
I mean, a 10 is impossible. A 10 would have to be a documentary of like.
Yeah, we've never reached a 10. I think we've gotten close.
We got close. But 8 maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who got the 8? And what movie was that so I can watch?
Oh, God. It was.
I don't remember.
I wanted to say it was Portrait of a Serial Killer because Henry Portrait. Because, but even though it wasn't true, it's hard. It's hard to tell.
Okay. All right. I'll ask you guys offline.
We'll get back to you. You just have to listen to all the episodes to find out.
Now I'm subscribed. I've got my backlog. I'm going through.
Guys, do as Marky does. Subscribe, listen to the episodes. Well, Marky, thank you so much for doing this. While you have a microphone in front of you, is there anything that you want to promote that our listeners should check out? Even if it's just to follow you on any social media channel, we'll post all of your handles.
I've actually been deleting a lot of social media.
Don't. You can also request that they don't follow you on social media.
You could follow me on Twitter. That's like the one thing that I have that's active. I have an Instagram too, but I just kind of like don't do shit on there. But at MarkyGK on Twitter. Go out and vote.
Yes.
Is that something to say? It's
near good. November. I appreciate it. I also appreciate your cleverness with your Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah, Marky GK. That's good. Good stuff.
I've had it for a long time. Like, I want to say I've been on Twitter since like 2 months after they created it.
That's crazy. We're trying to attack the Twitter world, but we have no clue what we're doing.
I don't know how to use it. If you guys know a good social media manager, sounds great. Send them our way.
I could do that for you.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
You don't want to do this.
I don't want to do that. Vote and be nice to one another.
Oh, yes, we agree. It. Everybody be nice.
Love it.
And watch horror movies because they're fun.
Yes. Highly recommend everybody watch horror movies as a way to get through these tough times. Jake and I will hopefully be uploading at least once a month. Times are crazy, but we're going to do our best. So stay tuned. Follow us on Instagram if you want to keep in touch and be alerted as to when we're going to upload new shit.
Yes, that's where please, you can find and also out. Please tell your friends.
Yes,
maybe not your family, but
yeah, probably not your family, yeah, but your friends.
Friends for sure. Yes.
What if I want to tell my mom? Man,
moms are welcome. We've decided moms are welcome.
Yeah, but yeah.
I really want to thank you guys. This is all. I'm honored that you guys asked me to come on for The Exorcist.
It's a big boy. Thank you for doing it. Yeah. This was a tough one to tackle. Well, most of all, thank you guys for listening and we'll be back soon. Stay safe, go vote, and talk to you later. Bye, guys. Great.